from the historic River Market in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, from the crystal blue waters of the Missouri River, it's Two Douchebags and a Microphone Podcast.
And now it's time for the Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two Douchebags and a Microphone Pledge. I, Joe, or Jane Listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe, or Jane Listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane Listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane Listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe, or Jane Listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe, or Jane Listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter-mile radius.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
Hi, all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You are the human equivalent to a participation trophy.
This is a voice guy from your favorite podcast, Two Douchebags and a Microphone. People often ask us how they can find us when doing a remote broadcast. One, smell. Go to the city market and start sniffing. Our aroma has been described as a mixture of flea powder for goats, Tabasco sauce, and old sock with dark fuzzy urine. Two, look for the spot absent of patrons. Three, the most telling sign is a crowd of patrons vomiting uncontrollably. 4. Just call us at 816-512-7717.
Oh Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry, I have a clown nose.
Oh no, that drunk guy just hit my child.
It's okay. I have a clown nose.
Clown nose. Just put one on and you can do anything. Want to run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam, everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk. Kansas.
Hello, everybody. This is Two Douchebags and Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Okay. So, we got some different stories tonight. This one here, very interesting. You know, coral reefs are like dying off, right? It's really a sad situation. We're losing these coral reefs, and it's very concerning because this is a huge ecocycle of the ocean, and the ocean pretty much controls everything on Earth. I mean, whether you want to believe it or not, I mean, everything is connected so much in the water and everything that, you know, if the ocean is too disturbed, it can do a lot of different things. And I think we're starting to see it in some areas. You know, like last year, the ocean was not circulating correctly or like it normally does. And the waters were so hot, it was like a hot tub and people couldn't really get in it. There's other things going on, like the crabs disappearing, lending diseases to different species of animals. We have invasive species like the lion's fish there. But this is actually a good story of something that sounds pretty up and coming. Like this might be something that they're going to do to help maybe save the ocean or at least prolong it longer.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so. Yeah, we need it. You need it.
I mean, look, I don't care if you're a conservative or a liberal. I think it's pretty easy to see that something is going on with the ocean, and it's us probably doing it. I mean, safe to say?
And if it's, if we're having problems with the ocean, we're having problems elsewhere, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking into those things.
Yeah. And the thing is this right here. Okay, we need to try to save the ocean as much as possible, and they're actually coming up with some solutions, it sounds like. So, underwater speakers that broadcast the hustle and bustle of thriving coral could bring life back to more damaged and degraded reefs that are in danger of becoming ocean graveyards, researchers say. Scientists working off the U.S. Virgin Islands in the Caribbean found that coral larvae were up to 7 times more likely to settle at a struggling reef where they played recordings of the snaps, groans, grunts, and scratches, that form of symphony of a healthy ecosystem. So in other words, what this is saying, I think most people got it though. I know you did, Rob. What they're doing is they're making sounds of healthy reefs, what they sound like.
Yeah.
And it seems to be like really helping the coral. And what they're talking about the larvae is this larvae that plants itself into the coral and brings the coral back to life. They're also doing some other stuff too, where they're taking, the best way to describe it is like this, and you can look it up. They're taking, you know how they do sod plugs, grass plugs, like Zoysia?
They'll take plugs. I've done that before.
Okay.
I've done a little bit of that work.
They'll take plugs of that of coral and plant it in coral that's dying, and the plugs of coral that they're putting in there is reviving the coral reef underneath there and bringing it back to life in certain areas. So it's kind of like the sod plugs, you know, they'll put like a plug here, a plug there, and it brings the whole lawn back to life eventually. That's kind of what they're doing there. That's another thing that they're doing to help the coral reefs. So anyhow, the world has lost half its coral reefs since the 1950s through the devastating impact of global heating. And I'm not saying, I'm reading the article, so if you don't believe in global heating, that's fine. That's not my argument. I'm just reading this article here. Overfishing, I think we can't argue that. Pollution, I don't think we can argue that. Habitat loss and outbreaks of disease. The hefty declines have fueled efforts to protect remaining reefs through approaches that range from replanting with nursery-raised corals to developing resilient strains that can withstand warming waters. Akoya and her colleagues took another tack, building on previous research which showed that the coral larvae swim towards reef sounds. They set up underwater speakers at 3 reefs off of St. John, which is one of my favorite islands in the whole world. It's beautiful. I've been there. The smallest of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and measured how many coral larvae held in sealed containers of filtered seawater. It settled onto the pieces of rock-like ceramic in the containers up to 30 meters from the speakers. While the researchers installed speakers at all 3 sites, they only played sounds from a thriving reef at one. The degraded salt pond reef, which was bathed in the marine soundscape for 3 nights. The other 2 sites, the degraded Culicobra and the healthier Tektite reefs, were included in for comparison. And when the coral larvae were released into the water column, they were all carried on currents. And then what they found is that the reefs that they played the striving coral sounds, the larvae was gravitating to and rebuilding those reefs, as opposed to the other reefs that did not have the sound. So without getting any more technical or any more into it, I mean, basically what they're doing is they're playing sounds to reefs, and the larvae that help repair the reefs were not going into the ones without sound. They're going to the ones with the sounds of the healthy coral reef system. So, I mean, that's encouraging, I think, right, Rob?
Yeah, it is.
It's a good start. And we'll see what else they come up with, too. Like I said, they have the plugs that they put in there. There's some other stuff that they're doing, too. There's like some, there's some fish life that they're taking downstream a little bit, and the fish life has certain things that it takes out of the water and puts in the water, and there's other things that they're doing. So, anyhow, I thought that was a pretty good lead-off story, and a pretty encouraging one. And I've got another story here that's interesting, too, along the same lines. Now, Rob, you've seen pythons, right?
Yeah.
Big snake, right?
Yeah, I don't like snake.
I'm not a really big fan of...
Anything that does not have legs and that can move faster than me, I'm scared of, dude.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I've always been. I have never liked snakes.
I am fascinated with them, but I'm not fascinated enough with them to go look at them. And like someone told me, oh man, there's a rattlesnake out there. You ought to go see it. I'm like, fuck no. I'm not going to go look at that. What if it bites me? Oh, if you're careful, it won't. And what if it knows what if it knows I'm coming and hears me and it's like, okay, that other guy got away with it, but that guy right there, I'm gonna get him because I know he's coming to look at me because that other idiot told him to look at me. You know, they're not dumb, you know, and they hear vibrations and they know we're coming. As a matter of fact, most snakes try to get out of your way, and they only strike when you don't see them and you're about to step on them or you get too close to their habitat where they're living.
Right, right.
So, anyhow, you know, pythons could become a sustainable source of meat amid rising food insecurity worldwide, exacerbated by climate change, whether you believe it or not, according to some researchers. A study published in the Scientific Reports Journal found the snake's meat to be a highly efficient, environmentally friendly source of nutrition that can be raised on waste proteins. And waste proteins are just the crap ones, you know, just like scraps and whatever. Dr. Daniel Natouche, a co-author of the study, explained that python farming looks promising because the snakes appear to be better suited for food production in the short term. In terms of food and protein conversion ratios, pythons outperform all mainstream agriculture species studied to date. Natouche said in a statement, "We found pythons grew rapidly to reach slaughter weight within their first year of hatching." So instead of waiting on a cow a couple of years on a cow, within a year they have a full huge python that people like to meet. It's an easy meat harvest is what they're saying, and it's a really quick one too. Researchers studied two large python species over 12 months on farms in Thailand and Vietnam. In those countries, snake farming operations are currently in place and snake meat is considered a delicacy, as it is more efficient to raise than other livestock, of course. Researchers who studied more than 4,600 pythons found that the Burmese and the reticulated pythons, whatever kind that is, I don't know what kind it is, pythons grew rapidly in their first year. Additionally, they found that pythons required less food in comparison to feed conversion than chicken, beef, pork, salmon, and even crickets, Rob. Even crickets.
Oh.
Yeah. According to the study, snakes were fed a mix of locally sourced food, including wild-caught rodents, pork byproducts, and fish pellets, gaining up to 1.6 ounces a day. Females grew faster than male counterparts. Researchers report the snakes fasted for long periods without losing much body mass, meaning they required less labor for feeding than traditionally farmed animals. Snakes require minimal water and can even live off the dew that settles on the scales in the morning. They need very little food and will eat rodents and other pests attacking food crops. So they get rid of pests that eat our food, and they don't eat our food. And they were a delicacy historically in many places, Natouche said. Natouche ate snake barbecued, sautéed on skewers, in curries, and as jerky, per report by the Washington Post. I don't know. I might rather starve than eat a steak. I don't know. You, Rob, what's your opinion?
Honestly, I mean, if you watch Westerns, and if you know anything about the Cajun life...
That's true.
Snake is a major meat to them.
Yeah, that's true. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, especially Cajun life. I mean, come on, what, you've watched Waterboy.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
What did they feed the coach? A big python.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. You know what? I might try it one day just to try it. You know, I didn't think I'd like alligator.
And the Westerns, they'd eat rattlesnake.
Oh, yeah, rattlesnake is supposed to be one of the best meats. They love rattlesnake.
Yeah, well, I mean, snake's a snake.
Yeah. And also, snakes are really good for the environment if you don't step on one that's poisonous, of course, or get too close. My dad told me a story. If anyone knows Missouri, they know where Plattsburgh is, right? It's north of Kansas City, about an hour.
My in-laws come from Plattsburgh, so.
Okay, then you know.
Ex-in-laws.
Ex-in-laws, yeah. Okay. Well, you know exactly where it's at. Well, my dad's dad, my grandpa, and his mom had a farm there, a huge farm. And when they moved into it at first, there were timber rattlers all over the property. So bad that you couldn't go out there because, I mean, there's too many of them. You would, like, run into one and get bit. There are no hospital around, I mean, except in Kansas City, and that was well over an hour away at that time. Probably 2 hours away because, I mean, the cars went probably 45 miles an hour. So, needless to say, you would probably die before they could get you to a hospital in Kansas City. There wasn't Life Flight. There wasn't ambulances that would go out there. There was some in the city. So, anyhow.
It was a half hour back to 435.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Trust me, I know. I lived in Gower.
Okay, then, yeah, you know. Okay. So,
yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a half hour just to get back to 435 to the main highway.
Yeah, and we're
talking. Your best bet would be Smithville.
Yeah, and then come down. Yeah, down 69.
Which is still 20 minutes.
It's quite a ways out there, especially for the times. So, my dad was scared to death. He's like, oh, man, I can't go out there. I'm going to get struck by a rattlesnake, and that's it, man. And so his father, my grandpa, took and got 10 hogs. He took these hogs and placed them on the land, and within 3 days, the hogs had eaten all the rattlesnakes and their eggs, and the rattlesnakes never came back. The hogs would root them out of their holes, and the rattlesnakes would strike them, but they could not penetrate their husk. So, while they're there trying to bite them, the hog would just reach down and crunch and eat them. And I thought that was pretty interesting. You talk about old remedies, right? That's an old remedy. And it's like, oh, don't worry about those snakes. I'm going to put 10 hogs out there. They'll be gone in 3 days. And there was not a timber rattler around or any other snake. So, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Rob. I guess we're done with snake talk for this one. Rob, we're looking at you. You have something for us.
All right.
Okay.
I have a true douchebag story.
All right. Well, we're douchebags, so there we go.
It's an older story. It was like from September of last year.
Okay.
And this is not, just so you know, this is not my fake story for the week.
It's that good, huh? Okay.
Oh, God, it's right up our alley, buddy.
Sounds good to me.
Like I said, this was September of last year.
Okay.
If your Starbucks Frappuccino tasted like ass recently, we may know why.
Oh, boy.
A Starbucks barista in Baldwin, Missouri, by the way.
I know where that's at.
With a purported diaper fetish, was put on blast today for allegedly stuffing whipped cream down their diaper from behind a Starbucks counter.
Oh, boy.
And it shows a picture of somebody spraying, they're wearing diaper and their work shirt, and they're spraying whipped cream down it, down the back of their diaper. Social media trolls Libs of TikTok posted video of the action on Twitter on Friday. In the video, the barista is seen stuffing whipped cream down their diaper The only thing they were wearing besides a collared blouse. For a solid 48 seconds before dumping a grande cup of ice down their crotch to join the cream.
Oh, was this at a Starbucks?
Yes, it was at a Starbucks.
Oh.
In Baldwin, Missouri. Normally we take anything the libs of TikTok say with the utmost skepticism. But in a post on their website, the libs include a screenshot of an email with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services asking them to investigate. They include the department's reply, which noted that the barista's actions did not demonstrate compliance with either the state health code or the one in St. Louis County, and said the state would forward the complaint to the St. Louis County Department of Health for an investigation.
Wow.
In an email to the RFT, Lisa Cox, spokeswoman for the State Department of Health, confirmed the communication and that the department is indeed notified the St. Louis County Department of Health. The county agency has yet to respond to our request for confirmation.
Is there any... go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to read... It's an old story, so I have to...
Well, that's why I was asking this. Is there any updates? Did you check for any updates at all on that? Because it's been a year.
No. I just found this like 2-3 hours ago.
I'm gonna keep track of
work,
I'm gonna keep track of that story because that interests me. I would like to know what happens with those people. I mean, because that
it shows a person no pants, nothing but a diaper and a shirt, spraying whipped cream down the crack of their ass.
Oh.
Behind the counter at Starbucks.
You imagine the people that went there that don't know if they got assed up whipped cream?
Oh my God.
That is, I'll tell you what, I'm for a lot of jokes, right? But not that. That is abuse.
Here's something. Here is an update.
Okay.
I just read further into the story, very last paragraph of the story.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior in this video taken 3 years ago. This is 3 years ago.
Okay. All right. So.
But still, man. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, still, it happened. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It happened, so yeah. Okay, it's relevant to me.
This is a douchebag story here.
This is a real douchebag, yeah. Those are people that just, like, need to be, like, hit in the face with a frying pan until there's no life left in them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyone that would do that, you can't trust. I mean, I'm sorry. So, anyhow. Wow, what a story. All right, I got a unique perspective on something. When we come back from our break, I'm going to pose this question, and you guys can, you can tell me, Rob, what you think, and you can email me and tell me what you think of this situation. Topher and I talked about it today, and we think there's something to it. Okay?
Sounds good.
So
is this straight from Topher's desk?
No, because I came up with it, but Topher did have an influence on this.
Okay.
Anyhow, we'll be back here in a couple minutes.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Bark, 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 bark.
Damn it. I should have never taught that dog how to read.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
How do you tell when you're out of invisible ink? I may never know. Why is it your brain can remember that you forgot something?
but can't remember what it is you forgot?
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Sheep sorrel and wood sorrel are salad variety greens reminiscent of romaine types of lettuce. Are both healthy and delicious. Vinegar and oil can be stored for a long period of time, so a post-apocalypse salad is possible. It can also be ground for a tasty spice as well. Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, hmm, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
What is the origin of Mountain Dew? Tennessee bottlers Barney and Ally Hartman developed Mountain Dew as a mixer in the 1940s. Soft drinks were sold regionally in the 1930s, and the Hartmans had difficulty in Knoxville obtaining their preferred soda to mix with liquor, preferably whiskey, so the two developed their own, now known as Mountain Dew.
Brick Shithouse Energy Drink! That's right, Brick Shithouse Energy Drink! Make that little girl chew off your balls! You wanna fuck shit up? You want to follow us across America? Brick Shithouse is for you!
Please enjoy Brick Shithouse Energy Drink responsibly. It's not readily available anywhere because of liability issues.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Great news. William Hung's world tour has been extended.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone.
Once again, it's time for Ramblings of a Madman.
I believe Congress needs to synchronize tap dance for 20 minutes before each session. That needs to happen.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Okay. Topher and I were conferring today. We went and had our coffee like we do. Had a good time, went down to City Market, sat in an old place that we used to have our, because they took the tables out, so we took a folding table and folding chairs, and the place that used to be there, that Hope Dillon owned, the Fresh Kitchen, closed down.
Right.
Yeah, she retired. So they took our tables and chairs out where we used to podcast from. So we're bummed out. We had to go inside the in the coffee shop, which is a great coffee shop. It's a fun place and everything, but it's not the same as being out there watching people walk by. So kind of bummed us out. So we decided to bring a small table and small chairs with us and makeshift our own place. So today that's what we did. And the owner of the coffee house, she's like, well, she goes, you know, you can store that stuff in here if you want. And we ended up not, because we couldn't find her afterwards. But it was really cool of her to offer, you know, you can just leave it in here. And then when you're here, these are your chairs and tables. But she's taking over the part where Hope Dillon used to own the Fresh Kitchen. So the coffee house is going to be twice as big. And she's going to put tables and chairs out there. So that's going to be cool. But anyhow, cool. Until then, Topher and I, you know, are doing this makeshift little area. And this is where a lot of these inventions in our mind came from. Some of the stuff that we came up with, invisible ass paddlings, you know, douche flavors. All this stuff originated there in that corner. It's, for some reason, there's some sort of weird energy there that we both pick up on and get very creative. Maybe it's the different people walking by. Maybe it's all the history in the building. I don't know. But something there gives us extra added energy. So... this is something, and I read this the other day, actually yesterday, and it prompted me to come up with this, because this is something that I've been thinking about for a long time, and this is brain cancer and drummers, okay? And I'm going to prove to you there's an inordinate amount of drummers that had brain cancer and have passed away. I've noticed over the years, myself being an avid music fan, that a seemingly inordinate amount of drummers have passed away from brain cancer. I will attempt to prove this point with some names, okay? Britt Turner, a couple days ago, a Blackberry Smoke. died from brain cancer.
Right, right.
Neil Peart, or Pert, of Rush, a couple of years ago. Eric Carr, of Kiss, quite a few years ago, I think it was 2000. Devo drummer, Alan Myers. Jeremiah Green, of Modest Mouse. Peter Jones, of Crowded House. John Brooks, of the Charltons, or the Charles, I think it's called, pronounced the Charltons. Randy Castillo, of Ozzy Osbourne Band and other bands, Lita Ford and a couple other ones. The list is much longer, but I think I proved my point. I'm just wondering, is it some form of electronics used with a percussion? Or could it just be pure coincidence? Rob, I ask you, I want to get your input on this. Topher has an idea, and I'm going to present that, but I want to hear your idea, Rob. What do you think there's something to it?
Just from you bringing it up and what you just read.
There's much more. I could have went on.
I think it could have something to do with the electronics.
I mean...
Very well. I don't know.
It's pretty interesting, the amount of people that I just read right there.
Beating all the time.
Do you think it's percussion?
You're
from
all the time pounding.
That actually makes a lot of sense, Rob.
As you bring your hand down, your head comes down.
Yeah.
That could be. I don't know. I really don't know.
It could be. I mean, because...
I'm guessing.
Yeah, like Topher and I were talking about today, your body creates cancer cells every day. Cancer cells look for something to latch on to grow. It usually takes damaged or scarred or some sort of a mutated or weird cell for it to start, right? It has to have, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like free radicals or something to start. So, maybe it's exactly what you said. Their head is bobbing and pounding so much that they have a little bit more of a free radical cell material up in their head, if you will. Or maybe it's the type of people, like Topher presented, he said, the type of people that drum use different parts of their brain because they can keep rhythm with each hand and foot, right?
I have a cousin that's a drummer. Yeah,
they're a different type of people because of their talent. So maybe that is that type of a brain that can do that is more susceptible to brain tumors or brain cancer, right? Could that be maybe?
That could be also. That very well could be also.
Anyhow, I believe, Topher believes, and now I think you believe, there's something to it.
Yeah, there is something to it. Now that you mention it, I never thought about it. I never,
Well, I started keeping track after Eric Carr and then Randy Castillo. I was like, wait a minute. You know, two of my favorite drummers of the time, I mean, within like a 5 or 6 year period. And then I started, keeping track in my head. And all these other ones started dying of brain cancer, and they're all percussionists or drummers, right? So, an inordinate amount of them are getting brain cancer, so I think that there's something to it. And then, the list I gave you doesn't even start to cover it. I didn't want to go anymore. I went through the most famous ones, and not the ones from a long time ago, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I didn't do any of that because, quite frankly, it'd be boring if I just rattled off names for 10 minutes. So I got,
and we'd probably be sitting here for 3 episodes.
Yes. So I didn't do that. So the whole thing I'm trying to say is this right here. There's many, many more names, but those are the names that the people that are listening would go, okay, yeah, oh yeah, 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 I did know that. Right. Oh yeah, I know this. So we don't know what it is, but we believe that there's something there. And anyone that has any idea at all, if you believe this, that there's something to it, and you think you might have an answer, doucheb66@yahoo.com. Send us an email. I want to hear your opinion. Rob wants to hear your opinion. Be a part of the show.
Yes.
Call in sometime. Anyhow, Rob, I'm done with that. I think I proved my point, and I think now people have the ability to respond really easy via email. So please email us if you have an idea on this. Rob, we turn to you. I know you have a story or two you want to get at.
Yeah, actually, when you called me before we were on the air, I was just stumbled across a story. I'm going to bring it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the one on your phone you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's just the Missouri State Fair that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out today. Some major draws for the annual Missouri State Fair won't be happening this year. State Fair Director Jason Moore announced Thursday that any events normally held inside the State Fair Arena have been canceled because a new 140,000 square foot arena will be built and the current arena won't be used.
Wow.
That means no bull riding or other rodeo events. All motocross, tractor pulls, demolition derbies, and other events normally held at the State Fair Arena are also canceled this year.
Mm-hmm.
This project represents a significant investment in the fair's future, and we can't wait to welcome these events and more back once construction is complete.
Uh-huh.
Construction on the new state-of-the-art complex is set to begin this summer and is expected to be finished in 2026. The Missouri State Fair will be from August 8th to 18th in West Central Missouri, Sedalia.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah. So they're building a new arena. It takes time, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, it does.
Especially an outdoor where you're doing tractor pulls.
Well, obviously they need it because I can tell you this, they don't want to do without those. Those are some of the main events that are going to be happening.
It's growing. I mean, you know, the concerts are getting bigger.
Yeah.
They need bigger events like that, too.
Yeah, I remember like Aerosmith was there one time. Let's see. But, you know, coincidentally, Aerosmith was a part of the famous Ozark Music Festival that went awry in Sedalia, Missouri. Many, many years ago.
Really?
In the 70s, yeah. Yeah, that was the one, the big scam, you know, where no one got paid and the promoters snuck out and all that stuff. There's a documentary, several ones, online about it. And allegedly, you know, the promoters, it was a big scam. What they did to scam Sedalia is they said it was a bluegrass festival, but it actually was going to be a rock festival. Now, they didn't advertise around Sedalia. They advertised on Wolfman Jack's syndicated radio show on the coast, and people went from everywhere, all over the country, to Sedalia, Missouri, and they actually believed, because they could not get an official count, because after a while, they bum-rushed the lot so much, people coming from everywhere, they couldn't charge for tickets anymore because everyone was just coming in anyhow. So they could not prove it, but they think there was over 300,000 people at that concert, the Ozark Music Festival. And if you have a chance, look it up. There's a documentary out that came out 2 years ago, or maybe 1 year ago, that describes everything. A hairdresser of mine, I haven't used her in a while, but her dad and mom met there at that festival and were married.
Hmm.
50 Highway and I-70 were at a standstill for days because people were coming in and out of here. It was a two-lane highway, you know, not Interstate 70, but 50 Highway and the town, they ran out of food. Some of the people there went and grabbed some cows off of a person's land and cut them and cooked them right there. There were naked teenagers in people's backyard hosing themselves off. There's so much more that happened that I can't get to. If you want to know the story, it's all true, it's all documented, it all happened. Go ahead and look up Ozark Music Festival of Sedalia, Missouri. And I think it was like 73 maybe is when it happened, something like that. So, anyhow,
You know what? Now that you mentioned, I think I remember that story.
It was 73.
I was 4 years old. Come on, man.
Yeah, I was like six, maybe. Let's see, I was born in 67. Yeah, I was like seven. Yeah, so I wouldn't have anything to do with that, of course, because I was
depending
six.
On the month.
Yeah, so I covered this a long time ago with Topher. A very early inception of this program I covered. Because I had just watched that in Sedalia, of all places, they played it. I just watched the documentary that they did, and I reported on it, and I spoke of it. I went into a lot more of it, but if you guys need to know more about it, look it up. It's easy to look up. You can go to YouTube and find a lot of different documentaries and information about it, different perspectives. So go ahead and do that. It's very informing. If you're into stuff like that, like me, you'll love it. So, let's take our second break, Rob. We're going to come back, and I'm going to talk about World Nap Day, which happened a few days ago. All right?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We'll
talk to you.
All right. Cool. All right. It's a deal then. Here, spit shake.
Spit shake.
All right. There we go. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. We'll be right back in a couple
minutes. Can't get anybody to do it today after COVID.
After COVID? No one's spitting on their hands.
Okay, let's take a break.
Okay,
all right.
We're taking a break.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
If a fly was de-winged in a horrible accident, would that make the fly then a walk? I may never know.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Next up, wings overhead in hell.
Joe Buck and Corey Aikman are doing all televised and radio games.
Two monkeyfuckers and a toaster will be right back.
Somewhere in the heavens, your great Grammy Gertrude is crying because her little Bebo is listening to this film.
Since we haven't a budget here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, here's a random guy on the street to promote our show.
Hi everybody, I'm Freddy. I love listening to Two Douchebags and a Microphone, and I get all my pertinent information from them. They are incredible, and I love them so.
Hi there. This is Fucknut from Two Fucknuts and a Recorder podcast. Two Douchebags and a Microphone are our favorite podcast ever. Please, go to your friend's computer and download it from there. Go to your church's computer and download it from there. Go to people you don't know and grab their phones and download it on there. These fuckers need all the help we can get.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
If you were a spice, you would be flour.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk. Kansas.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no.
It's an
island of horrible jokes.
Ugh. I can't take my dog to the lake. The ducks keep attacking him. That's what I get for having a purebred dog.
Hello?
is Two Douchebags and a Microphone, and we thank you for joining us. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Real quick, I want to talk about the programming note here real quick. Okay.
All right.
We have some people looking at us. They seem to be very, they seem to be the type of people that we want to associate with on what we're doing. They're very good at getting podcasts out there, getting their name out there, getting commercials for them, generating money for us and them. They're really good at promoting podcasts. They know all these little avenues and stuff and these other services and everything. So what I'm attempting to do, and I think I'm starting to do it pretty well now, is the best way to describe it is I'm trying to make the show sound like it fits in a talk radio format of any station in America. Like 1160 out of Tulsa. Let's just say that, okay? News 1160. Now, to put it like this, okay, remember Rush Limbaugh had the Pretenders? He would break into every show
Okay?
That was his signature. You know Bubba Love Sponge, we talked about him. You know, he has his own signature sound that he goes into. Let's see, Mancow had that, I think it was the Kinks riff that he went into. Let's see, there's other ones that I'm not thinking of. But everybody kind of that had a big time show had their own sound that they went into from. And I'm attempting to do that with different stuff. And so what I'm trying to do is make it sound like it's, you know, like it would fit into anything, because there are some streaming stations that just offer podcasts and they have that type of a format. Some of them are heard on terrestrial radio, some of them are not. And I was talking to one of the guys from there, and he said that these are great services because people go here all the time. You know, people go there like, oh, okay.
Really? Well,
yeah. It's like they took like 30 podcasts, shook them up in a globe, and they play them continuously.
So they don't want to take our name.
No.
They don't want to
take
away from it.
No. They want us to keep being us. They want us to keep doing what we're doing. They like it.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you're noticing some different stuff, that's what's going on. I'm very proud of this new bumper, and I can tell you right now, it was not copied, but it was influenced heavily by the old KY-102 bumpers. And instead of We Rock Kansas City, it says We Talk Kansas City. Now, I know Des Moines is our number one market. But this was something I couldn't resist. The other day, you know, Max Floyd was on with Slacker. You know, Slacker's retiring on 101. And they're both old KY
guys.
And
I missed it. I had the radio on, but I'm busy at work. I missed it.
Well, they
had it on.
They were playing some old IDs from the station. And I was like, man, you know what? That shit was so cool. We Rock Kansas City, or Serving the Heartland of America. You know, all this stuff was like really cool, and I was like, we need to come up with something like that. Something similar to that. Because that shit was so cool. And it wasn't anything special. It was just something they did that ingrained in our brain forever. I will forever hear that tone, and I'll go, KY. Right?
Right, man. I was there. I know.
Yeah.
And you know, the Kansas City thing fits. Yeah, I might be in Lake of the Ozarks.
Mm-hmm.
But I was born and raised in Kansas City.
Look, it's no secret we originate out of Kansas City.
St. Luke's Hospital. Come on.
You want to know where I was born? Lakeside. It's now like a
psych
award.
I grew up listening to KY.
Yeah, we all did. They were the fucking big swinging D radio, rock radio station with the great IDs, the great DJs, the DJs that are legendary. I mean, you know. My latest, I guess you would call ID or station signature, whatever you want to call it, is in the form of that, and I'm extremely proud of it. I think it sounds spot on. We're going
to
get to some
other
stuff.
Right there.
I played it to you the other day, didn't I? Before the air, before we got on the program.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah. It's the robot. It starts off with a robotic voice and ends up with We Talk Kansas City with a great tone. A tone that I love, that a tone that I think people, if they listen to it 4 or 5 times, whenever they hear that tone, they're going to go, douchebags. So, anyhow, I started to tell you before the break about National Nap Day. It happened a few days ago. And anyhow, National Nap Day, it was created as a way to compensate for the hour people lose because of time change. But this is one holiday that people can get behind. Okay, a nap is a short period of sleep usually taken during the day. Studies have shown that one or more short naps during the day can help increase productivity and alertness. It is believed that many successful people in history napped often. Some of these people were Einstein, Winston Churchill, and Napoleon. So, you can't argue that, right?
No, you can't.
Many animals are sleepers. They are nappers. This means that they take multiple naps during the day until the invention of electricity and affordable artificial lighting. Humans slept in at least 2 long stretches during the night. They first slept for about 4 hours, called first sleep. Then they woke up for a few hours during which they smoked, visited their friends, and ran other errands. They would then go back to sleep for what is now called the second sleep. This pattern of sleeping went out of fashion by the 17th century as more and more people began to afford ways to artificially light up their homes after dark in the early mornings. Isn't that interesting? That they used to do that. You know, they'd sleep 4 hours, get up, go visit friends, have a drink, play cards. And it's like, oh, look at the time. It's time for second sleep. And then they go sleep for another 4. You know, they still sleep in Europe. I think Mexico might sleep during the lunch break too. You know, not all places, but a lot of them do. And anyhow, how to celebrate National Nap Day? Take a short nap. If your country does not observe daylight savings time, then follow the daylight savings time and napping day schedule for another country. Why lose out on a holiday just because your country doesn't have daylight savings time? Did you know that a NASA study among pilots and astronauts found that short naps can increase performance by 34% and alertness by 54%? So they would know this. This is NASA. These are astronauts they're talking about. They need naps, you know. National Day of Observances in the next 10 years. Monday 2024 is on March 11th. March 11th, Napping Day. Monday 2025 is on March 10th. That's Napping Day. 2026, Monday, March 9th, is Napping Day. 2027 is March 15th, Napping Day. 2028 is March 13th, Napping Day. 2029 is March 12th, Napping Day. 2030 is March 11th, Napping Day. 2031 is March 10th, Napping Day. 2032 is March 15th, Napping Day. And 2033 is March 14th, Napping Day. So, listen to that a couple of times. Write them down. That way you'll be prepared for the next year's Napping Day, and we can all go to sleep and love it. Right?
Actually, I'm going to have to listen to it again and pause it, rewind it.
Yes, and anyhow, you know what? I'll just snap a picture of it and send it to you.
I couldn't tell if you said March 5th or not.
Hang on. Let's see if your birthday's a part of it. I never even thought about that. Hang on.
Yeah,
let me
March
look it over.
5th.
Let's see.
My brother's March 19th.
Nope, unfortunately, the closest your brother's is March 15th, and the closest to yours is March 9th. So it's nestled in between you and your brother's birthday. Sorry about that. I wish like hell one of your birthdays were on Napping Day. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
So, anyhow, you have something you want to get to, Rob?
Yeah, I have an update on Lake of the Ozarks Casino.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
efforts to put the question of the Lake of Ozarks Casino before Missouri voters in November are paying off, according to the investor group behind the push. Since casinos are per Missouri's constitution only allowed on or near the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, it would take a change to the Missouri Constitution to allow one on the Osage River, just downstream of Lake of the Ozarks, and the investor group, Osage River Gaming and Convention, has been working to get enough Missourian signatures to put the question on the Missouri ballot.
Okay.
Spokespersons for Osage River Gaming and Convention, the group of investors that hopes to bring a casino and hotel / conference center to Lake Ozark, say they have until May 5th to get enough signatures, and the current rate they expect the question to make it onto the ballot. So it's gonna get them changing. To where they could get it on the Osage, not just Missouri and Mississippi.
Well, that's what needs to happen if you want to do Lake of the Ozarks.
But, let's see here. A member of the ORGC investor group explained the petition needs about 173,000 verified signatures to clear the CIP process.
Well, is there any projection, like they think they have it or not?
They're aiming to gather more than 200,000 to be safe.
You see, I don't know what the big deal is now. They're everywhere. They're St. Louis, they're Columbia, they're Boonville, Kansas City, St. Joe.
Think about what rivers that is. That's the Missouri and the Mississippi.
Mississippi and the Missouri, yeah. Well, the Osage is a big river, and also that would be the way they could get into the Lake of the Ozark region, is that way, because the Osage...
Honestly, it's literally on the other side of the dam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Warsaw. You're talking about Warsaw, Missouri, yeah. Yep, there's a dam.
No, Bagnell Dam.
Oh, Bagnell Dam, too. Actually, I'm talking about the Truman Lake.
That's where the Osage River comes out of.
Yes.
You go through Lake of the Ozarks, you drop off the dam, you're in the Osage River.
Yeah, Bagnell Dam, that's right. And then the other side is, it's the Osage River for, I'm talking about Warsaw. There's the dam.
Yeah, Warsaw.
And the dam is Truman, that is Truman Reservoir. At that dam. That's
right,
what I was thinking of.
Right,
and then
right.
You have the Osage for about, 3 miles? And then you have the extreme western southern arm of Lake of the Ozark.
Well, and that is the Osage arm.
Yeah, that's the Osage arm.
It's called the Osage arm.
Yeah, yep. Anyhow, the Osage would bring it to Lake of the Ozarks. And, look. They're going to go somewhere and gamble, right? So why can't that area take advantage of some of the tax money?
Yeah, right now they're traveling an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah, let them stay in town.
Like you said, Boonville, places like that.
Yeah, Boonville's taking advantage of it. Boonville
is... And honestly, this could bring work down here, you know?
It will bring work down there.
I'm totally in on it.
First off, the building and trades down there, building the casinos, because you know there'd be more than one. So most of the casinos are good union work for people. So let's see. Well, I don't know about nowadays. They used to be. I don't know. Maybe not nowadays. But anyhow, it should be good construction jobs starting off. And then it's going to be service and jobs that could potentially bring in some good income for some people. So
and we need it down here.
Yeah, you guys really do.
But to be honest, we have more people than we have jobs down here.
Yeah, and that's how come they get away.
Unless you're qualified. I mean, you know, you have your qualified jobs.
Well, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the jobs are house cleaning, construction, maintenance, stuff like that, you know?
Talking about, like, these resorts have pools. They have guest rooms. Yeah. Like, hey, B2 over there, they have a light out, and they think it's a fixture. You know, can you go over there and look at it? Stuff like that. And then there's, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I think it would really help out a lot. And also, another thing is it would bring people down there during the wintertime, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of condos down here. People that don't live here year-round, they still come down during the winter. There's a lot of people come down and spend Christmas here at the lake.
It's a great place to spend Christmas.
Get all their families get together here.
You ever do Christmas in Branson, Missouri? Oh, my God. That is a great place.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun.
And Lake of the Ozarks is the same way.
Yeah, they light everything up. They really get into the Christmas spirit. I've been through there before. I haven't stayed there for Christmas, but I've been through there Christmas time. And it's beautiful. And, I mean, you know, the casinos will give people something to do besides just going down there and sitting in a cabin looking at the lake while it's cold.
Right.
Yeah, and it would bring good revenue, much-needed revenue, to that area. So we'll see what happens. I would think at this day and age, sport betting in Kansas, legalized recreational marijuana in Missouri, I mean, I would think that, like, something like that should pretty much be a no-brainer in today's voting world. Wouldn't you think?
I'm hoping it goes through. I personally do. I honestly, pretty much everybody down here does.
Yeah, I got it.
Because we need the jobs. We do. We need the jobs.
The problem is whole Missouri's voting on it, isn't it? Or is it just that district?
Yeah. It has to go to the Missouri vote.
Oh, that's the problem. That's the problem right there. The people that live in the outlying areas with the huge ranches, they would probably vote against it because they don't want a whole lot of people there.
You think about, you know, you got to add the people on the Missouri and the Mississippi. They're going to vote against it because they don't want to take away from them.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
especially Missouri, because like I said, a lot of people go to Columbia, Boonville.
And they're going to put up, like, a lot of campaigns against it and come up with reasons why they shouldn't do it. You're right.
But down here, everything looks good.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll keep everybody updated.
Well, good luck. I hope you guys get it. Yeah, let us know. I got a story here before we get the hell out of here and call it another podcast. You know that John Bon Jovi is not sure if he'll ever tour again after he underwent vocal cord surgery. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
I didn't either. He kept it very tight-lipped. The singer is set to release an album titled Forever later this year, and had hoped to tour, but after critical surgery, he's unsure if he'll be able to make that happen. It is my desire to do a tour next year, but I'm still recovering from a major surgery, he said in an interview with Mix 104 Boston. Although I'm well on the road to recovery and was able to take my time and do a song a day when I made the record, he continued, my need, want, desire is to be able to do a 2.5 hour a night show 4 nights a week for months on end, and I'm looking forward to that goal. So he doesn't know if this is going to happen because that is a rough surgery. And that's one of those surgeries where they don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, it can turn out to where he can sing, but it can also turn out to where he cannot do that type of a schedule. So we wish John Bon Jovi the best, and we hope that he can
heal
and be able to do it. And then on another note, I did not get a chance to... go ahead.
Can I say something about John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, absolutely.
He has nothing to worry about. He's into cooking now.
Is he?
And stuff. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a restaurant and stuff. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. We're at on the East Coast, probably.
I forget where it's at.
Huh. Okay, well, yeah, I knew he was a businessman.
Actually, he's got this thing for the homeless, or something like that.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he has a cafe for the homeless. You come up there, and you can pay whatever you want, and if you can't pay anything, that's fine. They still feed you. That's right. Yeah. I remember reading that several years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is very cool.
His cooking is starting to go deeper, I've been reading.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the guy has so much money, he doesn't need to tour again. He does it because that's what he loves to do. Just like Ozzy. Ozzy doesn't need any more money. All he wishes is that his body could heal enough to where he could do a light tour. You know, maybe three or four shows a year.
Keep doing what he does till the end.
This is in their blood.
Just like we all do.
Yeah, this is in their blood. Yeah. So it, like me or you not being able to do this podcast or whatever we like to do, or, you know, fish, whatever. Yeah. You know, it's in your blood, and that's what you like to do, and that's what you enjoy, and you suddenly get that ripped away from you, and it's going to be... disturbing to you, you know, it's going to, you know, give you depression issues, and, you know, because that big part of your life is suddenly over, because I believe that Ozzy probably has a little bit of depression going on. I know they're doing their podcast, and he's doing little spots on other people, like Billy Morrison's new album. He does a song on there, and he does spots and stuff, but that doesn't fill his need of what he wants to do. He wants to be on stage. Yeah. He wants to see people screaming his name. He wants to, you know, get crowds to go nuts. That's what he likes to do, that adrenaline, that fun, you know. And he's not able to do that, at least not right now. And even though he has all these other things that he's doing, and he has even more things coming up, it's still not what he craves to do, and it bothers him every day. So I would say that John Bon Jovi is probably exactly the same, because touring and doing stuff like this is in his blood, and if he can't do it, it's definitely going to, you know, affect his life. So, anyhow, let's see. You got anything else you want to get to, Rob?
That's about all I have tonight, brother.
All right, let me see if I got a story or two I need to clean up here. Because I got so many stories. There's some of them that I really wanted to get to, and they're kind of time-bending.
Oh, wait a second. Here's one.
Okay.
Oh, we're going to go back to the Miami Dolphin Kansas City game.
Go ahead.
But it's not where you think.
Okay.
After the Miami Dolphins were eliminated from the playoffs by the Kansas City Chiefs, they had more losses to worry about.
Oh, yeah, it is what I heard. Result.
Oh, you read this?
No. It was on the news today, but go ahead.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
I just brought this up while we were...
This is cool. Tell about it, because I wanted to report on it. I just haven't had a chance to. I heard on the news before I got on this broadcast.
They had more losses to worry about than just the result on the field at Arrowhead Stadium. According to court documents, Missouri police officers responded to a theft the day after the January 13th game. Representatives from the Dolphins said a team truck that held both gear and equipment was broken into, and items worth more than $45,000 were missing.
Even their playbooks.
Huh?
Even their playbooks was stolen. But go ahead, Rob. I thought that was, they told about that on the news. They said even their playbooks were stolen.
Oh, no, no. No. I got something better here.
Oh, okay.
According to this, on Wednesday, 2 months after the contest, Jackson County prosecutors charged Joseph Brown Sr. with felony theft. The documents claim that media equipment, football equipment, including pads, gloves, shoes, and game film, and other items were taken.
Wow.
They even took game film, dude.
Yeah, they took game film, they took playbooks, everything.
Brown had previously been convicted of felony theft in 2021. According to court documents, his bond was set at $50,000.
Wow.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Think about what slap in the face that would be. Not only did you just get your ass kicked on national TV, and you're already going home with your head down in shame, but then you find out that all your shit was ripped off and you couldn't even go home with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Anyhow, that guy's getting the, he had felony theft. He should get that. And I hope they prosecute
him. Yeah, he should.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I mean, you can giggle about it.
It was a good attempt.
You know, a lot of this stuff is done maliciously. Like, they're talking about how, like, in New England, if you're up there for a playoff game, someone would take and ring your fire bell at 3 in the morning at the hotel you're staying at, the opposing team. And then suddenly there would be nothing on film. They don't know who did it and all that stuff, right? Little games like that. Or there's only cold water in their shower. You know, other little things too. You know, making them practice in the muddy part of the field. You know, there's little things that they do to kind of jab at the other team, right? But
right.
This is someone trying to do it just to get money, I believe. It wasn't a jab at the other team like that. Like waking them up at 3 in the morning, you know, the day before their game, you know, with a fire bell. So, anyhow, you know, fire bell at a hotel, everybody has to go outside until they determine there's no fire. So every one of these football players had to go outside at 3 in the morning the night before the game. So they didn't have a very good sleep, probably, right? They had to wait out there for an hour or so.
Right.
And the authorities went through there. Okay, there's no fire. You guys can go back in. By that time, you're not sleeping. You're like, fuck. You know, now I got it. So that wasn't that.
Yeah,
that was,
and then you had to be at practice by 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're screwed because someone did that to them. You know, if I was another team, I'd hire my own armed guard at every fire alarm right there and have them stand in there and make sure no motherfucker did that. So, anyhow, all right. Well, we're well past the hour mark, and I know that you have to work in the morning, and I have other shit I got to do. I got to look up my property taxes.
It's not Friday, and honestly, I've had a pretty decent week at work. I really have.
So you're off tomorrow?
No, I got to work tomorrow, but
it's your Friday.
I'm off
I got
the
you.
Next 2 days. Yeah,
okay,
it's
that's
my
cool.
Friday. Friday is Friday.
So you had a better time at work now, huh? I know you were kind of not real happy, you know, about...
No. Everything's running fine, man.
Good. That's good to hear. All right.
And a lot of it is me.
That happens. I get upside down at any place I ever worked. You know, it's easy to do. A couple people kind of treat you shitty, or you think you've been, like, run through something that you shouldn't have, or they're treating somebody else different, it's real easy to get really irritated and pissed off and snap out or whatever, you know. And then later on, you know, we calm down and everything. The important thing is, you know, that you kind of keep grounded through it all. Yeah, certain things are going to happen. There's always going to be little injustices here and there, but mainly what you got to look at is the big picture. And it's like, you know what, I'm in pretty good shape here. Why am I mad? You know, they don't really screw with me too much. You know, they appreciate me. I make good money. At the end of the day, that's better than a lot of people, right?
And I actually have some pretty good benefits, too, so, you know.
For down there, you have a golden job, dude, from what you said.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they know what you do for them,
and
too.
And I've got another raise coming, so.
Good, Rob. That's excellent. You deserve it. You're a hardworking guy, and you care about what you're doing, and you put a lot of pride in your craft. And at the end of the day, a lot of people don't do that.
So, right.
Yeah. So, anyhow.
We're a lost breed.
Yep. Well, I go in for 2 days, then I'm off until after Easter, the Monday after Easter. So, you and I are going to be doing some promos, bits.
Yeah.
Little comedy stuff. We're going to be doing all different kinds of stuff. And like I said, this program is improving by the minute, and we're going to keep doing this. And we're going to keep trying to make you guys have a good time, whatever you're doing, wherever you listen to us at, whether you're at work, on the road, or just at home relaxing. We want you to be able to go, you know what, I'm kind of bored. I'm going to turn on the douchebags and listen to them. That's what we're here for, and we love you guys. And hi, Opal.
Hi, Grandma Opal. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Jimmy, the greatest grandson ever, and Opal, the greatest grandma. We appreciate you guys. Dodge City, yay. Dodge City, Kansas. Rah, rah. We love you guys.
Yes.
Alrighty. Have a good night, Rob.
You too.
Good night,
good night,
assholes.
Hey, where'd everybody go? We're the douchebags. Oh my god, someone took a dump in the corner. Oh jeez. Ugh, I'm glad they're gone. Let's just hope they don't come back. Whew, man, that smells.